You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast. We got AJ, Eric, and Rudo coming to you live as the Avs blow a 3-goal lead to the Vegas Golden Knights and lose 4-3.
When's that heat death of the universe coming?
Let's get on this, all right?
Yeah.
Speed things up a little bit.
I'm ready for it, man.
When's the next meteor going to hit the Earth? When's that one? I don't know.
Yeah. When's our next mass extinction event?
Sooner the better.
Nice. Dark.
Let's be real.
Dark.
Or I will be real. I'll speak for myself. The actual result of this hockey game, I do not care about at all. I do not care that the Avs lost. I do not care that they only got a point. The way the sauce got made didn't feel great. Would have much preferred the Avs just losing outright than blowing a 3-goal lead in the third period. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't particularly fun. And it doesn't give anyone any confidence in anything.
Yeah.
That sucks.
No, I agree. I mean,
yeah.
They were cruising along. I mean, they were fine. They weren't giving up anything.
They were playing great.
You know what I mean? Like, it was just, I mean, maybe Vegas wasn't playing. I don't know, but I thought the Avs were playing good, and then they were doing their job and on a back-to-back. And as soon as, you know, a couple chances happen, and you know, again, chances will happen, the puck's in their net. You know what I mean? And then the discipline was obviously the ending with two penalties by Josh cost
we'll
two
talk
goals.
About it,
yeah. But discipline, you know, wasn't there. So they lost that. They lost fragile team right now. But then again, we can't go back to what we said before the game. It is what it is. It doesn't really mean anything, you know, but you'd like them to feel good about themselves. And I think, like you just said,
I'm sure they felt great about themselves after two periods.
The way the sauce was made, you're right. You know, I think you get on the plane again, you just kind of feel shitty again. Yeah. You know, so
how much do we attribute or care about how the third period playing out being them on a Sega Baba?
It's not nothing. But okay. It's not a lot.
Yeah, I didn't give a shit. It's unacceptable. It's back-to-back days where you have a no-show and then you blow a 3-0 lead. You do everything right and put yourself in position to win a game. And win a game handily. And you completely choke it away. And one of your veterans that you're relying on in the postseason coming up next week
takes two brain-dead penalties.
Yeah, just completely falls apart. And not just the penalties, but, I mean, I was yelling at the TV.
He played bad all the way around, for sure.
On the game-tying goal, I was like, he needs to get back. He needs to get back. And he's just skating, you know, just cruising along, skating behind, you know, skating backwards with no sense of urgency. And it was just watching Josh Manson implode in the third period was like, great. So you're the face of this.
What feels like a lifetime ago now, we were told about Josh Manson. He can be prone to making the big mistake.
Yeah, well, when he has bad games, this is what they look like. They're horrific games.
So do you find solace in that, okay, this was the Josh Manson bad game and we can move on?
No.
Okay.
Because there's nothing in the world that says, oh, well, at least we got it out of the way now. That means it won't happen next week. Why? What says that?
Nothing.
Have we learned nothing from the Alexander Georgiev experience this year? There's nothing in the world that says it won't continue, that it won't repeat itself.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Fair enough.
I mean,
let me rephrase the question then. Do you have faith that Josh Manson can limit the bad going forward?
Oh, I mean, he's been good. He's been good. He's been really good.
He's had stretches of great play this season. Exactly. There's no doubt about that.
But yeah, like tonight, I mean, especially an older guy, you know, you got waxed yesterday 7-0, and you're one of the leaders somewhere, somehow, too. You know, you got to be better than what he showed there with his lack of judgment on.
Let's get into this action, yeah. Right? The first penalty he takes is very dumb. I'm not trying to defend it, but it's Josh Manson, right? He's a guy you put on the team to be physical and be a player that adds that edge to your team. If you're trying to twist yourself into knots, I think you could find a way to excuse the first penalty. I'm not saying you should, but I think you could. The second penalty is just, you can't do that. Heaven forbid it works and he knocks the puck out of midair. It's still a puck played with the high stick.
Yeah, what's the upside there? What play is he making?
Right, exactly.
No, that's a brain cramp. I mean, that's a brain cramp. He had a brain cramp there.
The entire third period is a brain cramp, though. Yeah, that's my problem with it, man. It's just he runs over a guy who's not doing anything. It's the easiest interference call.
And then
he blows his coverage on the game tying goal, and then he takes a dumbass penalty in the final minute of regulation to set them up to lose the game. Like he as much as there is justifiable anger and disappointment with the play of Alexander Georgiev again. You have Josh Manson just lighting his team's chances on fire in the third period. It's ridiculous. And then not Josh Manson or Alexander Georgiev, they never played any offense. Jonathan Drouin hits the post, and that's the end of the offense the entire game.
Yep.
There's not a lot to take from this, right? There's not. It's just, you're right. It's just the way the sausage or the sauce was made. And, you know, you're just kind of like, oh, God, yuck. You know what I mean? Like, this is yucky.
If the Avs lost this game 4-1 in a way where they just trailed the whole game, we'd be sitting here and going, okay, whatever. They lost. They didn't even try. Who cares? But they put two really good periods together. Two periods that you're looking at, and if you're assigning any value to this game, you're saying, hey, that's pretty solid. Good bounce back from last game.
It's better to win than lose.
Yeah. And then you take what you had built in two periods and throw it in the dumpster in the third period. And look, I'm not trying to take anything away from anyone in that third period. They were all bad. There was nothing really to write home about. But you just can't have what is supposed to be one of your reliable defensive defensemen in Josh Manson, regardless of, oh, well, he's found whatever offensive ability here in Colorado. He's on this team to play defense first, more than a guy like a Cale Makar is, more than a guy like a Sam Girard is. He's supposed to be a defensive heavy shutdown D, ultimately. And that wasn't even close to it. And then you got
to... It's hard to do the job when you're in the penalty box.
Yeah. A guy who should be on the Avs PK in the penalty box.
I say availability is a skill. Counts in games, too.
Sitting for four minutes. I guess it's less than 4 minutes in the box. In both instances, it doesn't go the full two. It's tough. It's tough there. And
you're bringing up Bo Byram. No, man, nobody's missing Bowen Byram. He's not even playing for the Sabres.
In any case, you needed better there. You needed more offense, as AJ mentioned. The Avs felt like they just geared it into reverse, basically, 5 minutes into the third period. They just said, all right, we're done playing this game. And maybe a little bit of that is the Sega Baba. I don't know. But that's not an excuse. And then lastly, I don't care as much about the second and third goals. There are other significant breakdowns there. But the first goal against just can't go in. you're a couple minutes into the third period. If you get through that first five, like Eric always says, you probably just go on to win the third period.
I mean, it's just not a quality scoring chance.
Yeah, it's a extended wraparound. It just can't get beat by that.
Well, he doesn't do anything with this stick. He just tucks his entire body into it, and he's like, well, hopefully he hits me with it. What the fuck are you doing? Yeah. I think he sucks. Well, I think he sucks, and I think that he is completely incapable of mentally pulling himself out of any kind of rut.
The second something goes wrong, it's a spiral.
Exactly. Yeah. He can't. One thing goes wrong, and his game falls apart. He was playing well through two periods.
Yeah, totally. He made some really good saves.
He made the couple of saves, and the couple of times he was tested. He wasn't tested a bunch, but he made the saves. Yep. And you're looking at him, and you're going, great. And then in the third period, he goes full Philip Grubauer.
Yep.
In Vegas. Yep. And it's just like, dude, I just don't. Maybe he has a great postseason. Maybe, right? But what in God's name would ever lead you to believe or have any kind of confidence that that's on the table right now? He you can see it when you watch him in games. You can see it.
Yep.
You watch him just emotionally melting down in a game. And it's, I don't know. Mike, I just.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Regardless of all the other problems that you can point to on the team, and all that, there's no Landy as the captain on the bench, and the defense is giving up chances, and Nathan MacKinnon doesn't bother to give a shit the entire second half of the game. All right, fine. But your goaltender has to be your last line of defense. And he's a shooter tutor at this point.
What it feels like.
I think he sucks, and I think he's going to sink this season.
Here's what I'll say to help you out there. I mean, you know
help
what I mean?
Or
like,
hurt.
No, you know what I mean? Like, no, but I agree. I mean, we think the same on that, so. If you go back and watch the pregame, I think all three of us said, listen, it is what it is. We're not too worried about this game. Just go out there and play and don't get injured, right? Which I don't think they lost anyone, right? I mean, that we know of.
Not on the surface, for sure.
On the surface, yeah. So, I mean, we'll knock on the wood on that, right? So, that we said, and it was my eater because I said, Georgiev is the guy that the game matters to, right? I mean, it's a game that he needs. Playoffs are right around the corner. He got shit canned yesterday, right? I mean, he just did. He got pulled. Let's see how he does today because that's important for him. Didn't pass the test. And I think that's what AJ is trying to say there. You know what I mean? And I agree. He didn't pass the test. Now, does that make me start to worry about all that? Yes. Do I like their roster? Yes, I love their roster. Am I worried in that? Yes. You brought it up. He doesn't seem to have the capability when one thing goes wrong to stop it and move on to the next shot. It just escalates. It escalates. And when you're fragile as a team, like they didn't give up that much tonight. Let's not kid ourselves. But they still found a way to give up four. And five. I mean, one that didn't count. But I'm just saying, there's still fine ways to give them goals because every time the puck's in their net.
This is what I'll say. Even if you don't want to blame Georgiev and it's just not a conversation that I'm going to have again.
Yeah.
If the objective of this season and the last 3 weeks was to get your starting goaltender confident going into the playoffs, last stretch of games, four given up, six given up, six given up. Two given up. All right, not terrible. Four given up in 20 minutes. Four given up. There is one 900 save percentage in that stretch.
Hell yeah. And that's Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's my point.
And even if you're saying, oh, well, the team was terrible in front of him, okay, you've still completely shot that guy's confidence.
Well, he's the only goaltender that's ever had to play behind a team not playing well in front of him. So, yeah. You know, we should just wave it away because, No goaltender has ever had to face a tough situation before with the team in front of him playing like shit. Give me a break. You think Winnipeg's had 80 exceptional games?
No.
No.
No, but their goalie had a crap ton of exceptional games.
Well, and both of them did, because Laurent Brossoit was awesome this year. He was the Brossoit. And I just...
I like it.
What a joke, dude. I'm just...
Well, I mean, just kind of makes me...
Georgiev starts game one in Winnipeg, and I'm not going to be surprised if Annan starts game two, man. That's where I am with it.
I would second you on this.
And then
you cross your fingers, because that's what you have. So there's no other option, right?
If game one is he gives up six or he blows a three-goal lead, you can't start him again, right? You just can't. And I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it. It's not like they didn't go back to him. It's not like they didn't give him every opportunity, right? He played both of these games in the back-to-back. He only could play 20 minutes in the first because he couldn't make a save. But
he's had a lot of rest, too, this past month in my book. You know what I mean? I think he's had rest.
Their schedule hasn't even been remotely challenging down the stretch.
Yep.
As a team. And they have totally fallen apart.
Yep.
It's frustrating.
Yeah. Yep.
And like, this is not the 22 team. People keep like, oh, they lost 6 of 7. That team clinched first place in the conference with 10 games to go. They ran away with the everything that year. That was a team that was resting players and was practicing. They were literally cardio kings for the last 10 games that season.
Yep.
I remember covering a game in Winnipeg while they were there and being like, I have never seen an NHL team this relaxed during morning skate. They're just hanging out. Joking around, playing pranks on each other. No level of seriousness. That is not this year's team. They had something to play for. They had opportunities to win their division, and they binned all of them.
I know. I can't argue you.
I mean,
because I agree. That's why.
I don't know. At least at the end of the day, they get to go drive home in their Toyota. All right. At least there's that. Toyota offers 17 models with all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive, just like the 4Runner, an absolute classic. Of course, there's a truck or car right for you when it comes to a Toyota, the official vehicle of DNVR. You can get in on a Toyota, whatever you're looking for, whether you're looking for a truck like the Tundra, or, you know, you can go get the new 2024 Land Cruiser coming this spring. Tons of different options, including 16 different hybrid vehicles to choose from, including the iForce Max hybrid truck. They also have SUVs and, of course, sedans and everything you could want. Visit your front range Toyota stores at a location near you. AutoNation Toyota, Arapahoe and Centennial, Corwin Toyota in Boulder, Groove Toyota in Littleton, Mountain States Toyota in Denver, Stevenson Toyota East in Aurora, and Stevenson Toyota West in Lakewood. Toyota is the official vehicle of the Colorado Avalanche and the official vehicle of DNVR.
If only the Avs had the consistency of a Toyota and the reliability of a Toyota. How much better off would they be right
now? Can a 4Runner start and goal? Is that legal?
Oh, just park it there. Make them shoot low.
Maybe the Avs dreams is a little bit of fantasy. If you are looking to play some fantasy, get with Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can go over with Underdog and play their pick 'em game. You can pick up to 5 different players to be higher or lower on any given stat that you're looking for. And you can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. You can even make rivals picks if you're pitting 2 players against each other. And you can turn on things like pick 'em insurance to give you that little bit of wiggle room. So maybe you get 3 of your 4 picks right, you're still good to go. I've been dabbling in it a little bit. I took Cale Makar to be a plus player tonight as one of my picks. Unfortunately, I also picked a bunch of baseball pitchers to not give up runs in the first inning, and that didn't happen. So that's bad picks by me.
That's a bad beat, too.
I know, right?
First inning, man?
It almost never happens. I'm saying.
Come on.
Maybe your Underdog Fantasy pick'em is to pick the higher goals on the Avs goaltender. Every single time. Seems like you can make good money.
Over.
lots of higher side on that one. Sign up today with Underdog Fantasy with promo code DNVR and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special in your lobby. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store, and don't forget to register with that promo code DNVR to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as that instant pick'em special. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit mpcgambling.org. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. I do want to take away some positives here. I know that's obviously not the vibe of the night. But again, you're looking at a team that really played two really good periods of hockey tonight.
I see people hating on Casey Mittelstadt, and I'm just going to say, go back and watch the Mikko Rantanen goal again.
He sets up that entire play. And honestly,
he had a great game today.
He goes hard through the middle of the ice, skates through their defense, and gets that entire zone entry set up. He doesn't get a point on it, but that play starts with Casey Mittelstadt, and I thought he was really good for a while today.
He was. On the wall, he was outstanding.
I mean, I get that you need production out of guys. You need points out of guys that get minutes, but just please, for the love of all that is holy, watch the damn game.
And honestly, it's hard to have much problem, I think, with the Avs' top six in the first two periods. I think you can have some issue with Nathan MacKinnon on the game-tying goal.
I have a big issue with him.
He's floating back
there.
He's
literally just puck-watching.
Yep.
He's, like, drifting towards Howden. He's not paying any attention to William Karlsson driving up the center of the ice.
Yep.
I can understand where Josh Manson's like, all right, I have a teammate back here. I'm going to hang out in the neutral zone and make sure that a late trailer is not going to get here. Yeah. And I've got a guy who should be picking him up. As much as I'm frustrated with Josh Manson completely falling apart in the third period of the game, Nathan MacKinnon AFKs.
Yep.
It's a controller disconnect. It's horrible, horrible defense by him.
He got caught puck watching. You can see on the replay. Yeah. Then he's watching the puck, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh shit. You know what I mean? Like, right? You know what I mean? Like, you see it.
And then you see him start skating a little bit harder, like, oh, and crap. It's too late.
And then you see Josh that's like, nay. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you know, again, that's the stretch they're in.
Yep.
That's the stretch they're in. And then what else happens after? There's no say. I'm not saying, like, it's just there. Every time there's a F up like this, the puck's in the net.
Yeah.
There is no save. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that's a weak goal, it's not a save. Somewhere, somehow, you got to bail your team out. You know what I mean? And then it's just not happening. And that's why you're seeing some losses. So.
It's just tough. It's tough to sit here and talk about things that the Avs did well when it all means nothing because they played one terrible period. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah,
you know. You got to find a way to pull yourself out of the spiral, right? You got to take something and say, hey, we did this well. We can work off of that and do other things well. It's just tough right now for the Avs themselves and as Avalanche fans. Like, I can sit here and believe that I think the Avs will be a better team, more locked in, whatever you want to call it, in the playoffs. But they're not giving a whole lot of reason to be confident in them down the stretch. You're watching a team that's getting bopped on a lot of nights. I don't know. How do you think that locker room is right now, Eric? Are they a team confident in themselves despite this, or is this, do you think this is getting to them?
No, this is where I think that as a whole, I'm not worried. Next week, as a whole, I'm talking about the group, the room. They have a good group. They have a good room. I do believe that they'll be fine come next week. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to see some special things from MacKinnon and Makar. And, you know, I do believe that. I'm not going to shy away from that I'm confident with the goal. I'm not. I think that going in there, do I think they're going to have some balls? Do I think they're going to be smart? Do I think that they're not going to be dumb like tonight in the third and take unnecessary penalties? No. But I'm not confident about the goaltending. And again, I'm going to talk a little more about it. Like, let's something that's very fresh here this weekend is the Denver Pioneers. Do you really think the Denver Pioneers played two flawless games?
Yes. I watched them. They were perfect.
Yeah, okay.
How dare you?
They did great job of getting all the calls.
No, I'm not talking about that.
I know. That's,
I'm talking about goaltending.
Some salt in the wound there. You're yes. trying to rub it in. Jesus, man.
No, but I'm saying, like,
Jesus.
I mean, David Carl's an awesome coach. You know, you know what? They scored two goals their last four games. They scored eight goals the last four games. They went 4-0. They won every game like 2-1 or 2-0. And they were the highest scoring team in the country, right? In goals for and everything. And that's how you win games in playoffs. But yeah, they gave up a shit ton of chances. They did. I mean, yesterday they played a flawless game first half, and then by the end they gave, what, 25 shots in the third? Like, there was, like, what, 15 scoring chances? And the goaltender was awesome.
Headbutting pucks and shit. That's was awesome, how you win.
But I'm just saying, but nobody's talking about freaking Sean Behrens or whoever making a dumb play yesterday, and then all of a sudden the goalie cleaned it up, and that's what goalies are there for. You can't win without good goaltending. When your goaltending is below average, it is freaking tough, and that's what I'm trying to say to people here. Like, it's, you make mistakes, but goaltending has to be up to par.
I mean,
and
just,
it hasn't been there.
Just look at last year's Avalanche team. So much worse than this year's team. But your goaltender last year was great.
Yeah. The same guy, by the way.
Yeah. He was, Georgiev was awesome last year. He was a huge reason that they won their division.
Yep.
He was a big reason why we were so, we felt so good about the Avs coming into this season, despite some obvious roster holes.
Then they filled most of the roster holes, and it's the goalie that's
right.
the
and
problem.
Then Georgiev has gone to pieces, and he can't get himself out of it.
Yep.
I mean, mentally, you've seen him completely fall apart.
Yep.
I mean, he's hitting teammates with sticks. He's hitting equipment guys with a broken stick.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is totally melted down in front of us. You can't keep him after this year. I'm not even, like, super, like, I don't even want to get into summer stuff, but unless he goes out and completely does a 180 in the postseason, there's no way you can try and run this back with that guy.
And we'll talk about it this week.
We will.
Because of that. But the postseason, everything goes out the window, and it's a brand new season. Now, I'm not shying away from it. Makes me nervous that he will turn the corner. And you know what I mean? And we'll talk about that, all that. But
Let me turn this corner to something else that has stood out to me over the last stretch of games. And this probably doesn't really matter when it comes to playoffs, because you're not going to be killing a lot of penalties with only three guys out there. Is it a weird choice to you guys that Cogliano is the forward?
Dude, it's a bad choice.
And like, forget three-man penalty kills. Cogliano hasn't been any good on the PK just in general this year. Feels like a weird choice to me.
It's a bad choice. You went out and got Yakov Trenin specifically because he's a really good PK guy and then has been good.
Came here and started winning faceoffs like a madman.
Right, specifically PK faceoffs. And you start overtime with Andrew Cogliano. Like, you know that when you lose that faceoff, because Andrew Cogliano is very likely not winning that faceoff. When
the
you
one
lose,
he won, they fucking iced the puck.
When you lose that faceoff, then Andrew Cogliano is very likely stuck on the ice for until the whistle.
Until the game's
which
over.
Which is exactly what happened. Yep. They
left him out there.
Well, left him
timeout
out there.
Did happen.
He wins the faceoff. Makar fails to get the puck out of the zone. They get a save. He loses a faceoff. They lose the game.
Yep.
Okay, you got away with it twice.
Yep.
The third time, Andrew Cogliano was that trusted? That trusted that a guy that you specifically went out to get in that role, your coaching staff just goes, we got away with this twice.
Yeah.
Let's give it a whirl.
Yeah, it's tough for
Fuck
me.
Off, dude. It's just... It's That's an area where you look at Jared Bednar and you just go, what are you doing? What are you doing? You have a guy that is washed. I get that you love him. I get that he's trusted and that he's a great voice and he's got all the intangibles. But as an NHL player, he's done. He is done.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. Eric, do you think there's any more value to that guy getting on the ice, or is it... Do you have to have a real hard conversation there?
Well, right now in the situation they're in, I think there is a place for him, but I don't think there's a place like AJ Sin in crucial situations, maybe.
Certainly not taking important face-offs. You shouldn't be doing that.
In a 4-on-3,
agreed.
You have to make it count.
Yeah.
You have to make a good decision there. As part of a 4-man unit, you can hide him a little bit. All right, we're going to have him cover this one little part of the ice. He's still a good skater, so he can get places. You saw they had a whiff.
Yeah.
And Cogliano didn't pick up the puck, didn't even come close to it, never once pressured a puck out high because you can't in a 4-on-3. So the speed is completely negated. If he's not even getting out there and getting after a guy out high, why do you have him out there? He's done.
I agree.
I agree. It's just tough when you're looking for something to bail you out and you don't trust your goaltender. You can't trust your Josh Manson in a game like this. Now you can't trust your PK in a 3-man situation if Cogliano is your go-to forward. It's
ban this guy, please. Thank you.
Anyway.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're fine. It's just that type of a game. It's just hard when you're looking at something to trust in a game that has gone sideways on you. And there isn't really anything to trust, right? You trust the top guys to play quality offense for you? Yeah, probably most of the time. But even them, you're looking in this game and Nathan MacKinnon is directly responsible for the game-tying goal. I don't know. I don't know where the Avs turn when this happens. And obviously the answer is they turn to one of the guys that they don't trust right now. Someone's got to earn the trust. Time's up. The playoffs start in less than a week. So,
no.
I don't envy being in that spot. I'll put it that way.
I don't know. This is still a good team. This is still, we'll talk about it this week. But yeah,
it's not hard to look at them on paper and go, this is a really good hockey team.
Yeah. Look at them on the ice in the first two periods of this game.
I mean, first two periods on a Sega Baba.
Yeah.
Like they really took it to Vegas.
And then their brains just powered down for one period.
And as we mentioned, no doubt being on a Sega Baba plays a role in it.
But I'm
not here for it today. After what happened yesterday, you can't do that. If they had won yesterday,
different story.
We'd be really disappointed right now. Like, man, they really just threw a great chance.
Just watch their legs go.
Exactly. But after what happened yesterday, having a 3-0 lead going into the third, it's unacceptable. There's nothing about the team right now other than Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, Mikko Rantanen being superstar caliber players that makes you feel like, yeah, come postseason next weekend, they're dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a little more than that, but certainly on any given night, you just have no idea what you're going to get out of a significant portion of this team.
I don't even think I agree with that. I think it's just, okay. I think it comes back to 40.
I mean, I think that's the guy, root cause.
That's
for sure,
the guy you don't know what you're going to get.
And that
there are some
resonates
games,
up the lineup.
But there are some times where they don't play well defensively. There are some times where, you know, they have a discipline problem. Yeah. That is every hockey team in existence.
You're not wrong.
But you have a starting goaltender that cannot get it together. It looked like he was turning a corner, and then his last seven starts have happened.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's cratered.
What else can you say?
I don't think he finishes the postseason series.
I think that's a fair take.
Possibility.
Yeah. You know, some of us like to eat our way out of our grief.
I mean, look at the three of us. We definitely
no
do.
No kidding, right?
Hey,
look, at least we're not CHGO, all right? Shout out my man, Jay. He does the I'm Fat podcast on the side. So we're in good company here at All City.
We're podcasters. What do you expect?
Yeah, come on. Look, here in Denver, if you're looking to eat your way through some stuff, Raising Cane's the place to go, all right? To be honest with you,
delicious chicken.
Their chicken fingers are amazing, but like, catch me out back just straight guzzling their sauce by itself.
All right. That is disgusting.
Bruno is a sauce guggler, confirmed.
Come out behind the DNVR bar. You'll just see him with packets. He's putting them into a water bottle and just disgusting.
Their sauce is amazing, though. Like, I'm not kidding about their Raising Cane's sauce. It's absolutely delicious. Go get yourself some Raising Cane's chicken finger meals. They're served up fast. Absolutely delicious. They also got that crinkle cut fries and buttery Texas toast to go with their meals. So find your local Raising Cane's location, and you can order on mobile or online right now. For cook-to-order hand-battered chicken fingers, race into Raising Cane's. Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster by ordering online at RaisingCane's.com or through their mobile app, Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Once you've got a Raising Cane's in one hand, get yourself a Chillin' Beer Coors Light in the other hand. I don't know. Avs fans might be more drinking to forget as of late, but, you know, it's also good to take a breath, relax a little bit.
Are you talking to Georgiev now?
I might be. Maybe he needs a Coors Light,
man. Can we get him a Coors Light mid-game?
Who knows what's in that water bottle, all right?
Well, yeah, sorry. I'll tell you after. I'll wait.
Okay.
All right, Amadeus.
I'll let you finish to read.
Either way, Coors Light, the beer made to chill. Whether it's remembering that we all live and die with our emotions over a children's game and maybe we should chill out, or whether it's because the Avs are actually good and we should chill out. Either way, Coors Light, you don't even have to get up off your couch. Go to CoorsLight.com/DNVR. With Instacart, you can order the Coors Light to get delivered right to your front door. Brewed right here in Golden, Colorado, get yourself a Coors Light, the beer made to chill. Of course, please party responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Well, I got to know.
What I was going to say. You know, I just saw. That's what I was looking at. I mean, Bednar in this press conference after the game a couple minutes ago said, quote, unquote, he's got to come up with a big save for the guys. He did. I mean, I
can't say it any more straightforward than that. I don't know what to tell you.
You just have to look at the game. And that's why I said the other day, you just... There's times in a game where you have to come up with, there will be mistakes. There will be brain cramps. Just like DU did yesterday. They had brain cramps.
As it turns out, there is another team on the ice trying to score goals as well.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's the NHL. Like, guys, it's not, you're not going to wax teams and not let them have. And you're going to make mistakes. That's what happens. But when you're fragile and you're not getting the save, it's a tough combo. It's a tough combo. You can nitpick all the gills you want. Like, I don't like the first. I really don't like the first. I don't like the second one. Hey, I don't like the third one. I don't know what to tell you. Like, I don't like them. So,
it fourth was one was fine.
It's starting to sound like you just don't like goals against at that point, to be honest.
No, I know, but I just.
The 200 goals he's allowed this year. Not a fan.
I just don't like when they go in bunches. Like, it's like, I hate it. As a team, as an individual, as a player, as a goalie, just a goalie. It's just,
I said it.
God, like put a band-aid
5 minutes into the third period, they scored the first one. I said, hey, well, you know what? This is a chance for Georgiev to prove he cannot give up the next one.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Jesus.
That was pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
I felt that one.
Wow. So did I.
No. Bang the table.
Sorry, they shouldn't have banned that table.
Look, nothing you've learned from this game is anything new, right?
No.
You didn't say, oh, wow, look at this new problem that the Colorado Avalanche might have.
Yeah.
It's not like we're discovering new issues with the team. So, however you feel about the Avs, I don't think this game changed it all that much. I know it didn't for me, even if it is disappointing.
It is. But.
End of the day, there's one more game left until the important stuff starts. And let's face it, the outcome of this season will be judged on the playoffs. If That's the Avs,
always been the case.
If the Avs roll up and win their first round series... Nobody's going to remember the last 2 weeks of the season other than, haha, remember how bad they were and then they got good?
Uh-huh. New season coming up.
The Avs roll up into the first round and get bodied by Winnipeg. Everyone's going to say, well, yeah, they sucked. They've sucked for months. The onus is on the team to go out and do it in the playoffs. That's all.
5-point team sucked for months. Well, I mean, dramatic.
That's how people are, though.
I understand.
I understand. Somebody's talking about a breakaway save. It's not a routine
save. Yeah, give me a break, dude.
Nobody's saying it's a routine save.
No. It's not even a breakaway.
You have to make saves. You have to make saves. Like, he made a pad across, save, you know, pass across. He made the pass. And then everyone, I'm reading all over Twitter, oh, my God. With goalies do that 5, 6, 7, 8 times a game. Like, you have to make saves. That's your job.
It's your only job.
You're supposed to stop.
You're not asked to play defense. You're not asked to score goals.
We're not saying that's a weak goal when you give up a breakaway goal. Nobody's saying it's a weak goal. We're saying you got to make saves. And there's a big difference, you know. That's their job. Cover up the shit.
I'm just done making any kind of excuse for him. Do your job, dude. He's doing his job worse than any other Av other than Jack Johnson is doing his job on the team. I think that's just where I am with it. And one of those guys is a third pairing defenseman that plays 14 minutes a night, and you can get away with it. It's fine. It's not a big deal. But your goaltender being that bad? No.
You won't survive.
Congratulations, you accidentally rebuilt the Edmonton Oilers.
That's a fact.
Whoops.
I don't know. I don't have a ton else to say. Let's get to the Super Chats. $2 from A Wolf, who says, the Avs team feels very fake to me. I don't know that I agree with that at all, to be honest.
I definitely don't.
Nathan McKinnon, 138 points ain't fake. Miko Rantanen's 100-point season ain't fake. Jonathan Drouin's resurgence isn't fake.
Is Kale McCarr up to 90 now?
Did he have 80, yeah. 89, 90? Yeah.
He was somewhere in there. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. His next point per game season.
Yeah.
And potential Norris Trophy finalist again.
Yep.
He won't win it, but he might be a finalist
very
again.
Very well could be a finalist.
I'm pretty comfortable believing he's going to be top 5 in the voting.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know, and then he'll finish 6th because, that's what happens when I have confidence in something. Anyway, I don't think they're fake. They have the best advantage that you could have, but they have arguably the worst Achilles heel that you could have. And right now, that's an interesting push and pull.
And that's not even fake. It's pretty reflected in the stats.
Yep.
$5 from Wyo, who says 1-5-3-10. That's how they finished 3-10. That's how they finished 21-22. Don't panic yet. Wait until after game one.
It's just not that team. That team was better than this year's team.
I agree that I don't think they're comparable. I wouldn't say you should be panicking. Mostly because I believe in this team's core's ability to play in the playoffs. But you definitely should have some concerns.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you're rolling in right now and you're like, yeah, I'm not concerned at all. I want what you're having.
That's as unrealistic as the people saying, yeah, if the Avs don't fire Bednar, they're going to get swept in the playoffs.
Or wanting to fire Bednar because he didn't change Cogliano in overtime. Yeah, sure. That's a great idea. Fire your coach and change all of your systems. One game before the start of the postseason because of that decision.
For a situation, by the way, that just doesn't exist in the playoffs.
Those are both unrealistic sides of that. Sides of the
You've
same
coin. You've
gone
too far in either direction.
Your pendulums are too extreme here, friends.
99 cents from Easton, who says, a pile of poop with a face.
For our audio people, that's a super sticker.
It is a super sticker.
Yeah. He's not just reading that for fun, in a fun voice.
$10 from Eric, who says, don't have anything. Just want to send some love. Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
We do appreciate that part.
Sometimes you need some love.
You always need love.
True. That's why I married my wife. $5 from Clay.
Yeah, gross.
That's fine.
Subtle flex.
I'm gross all the time. Yep, that Georgie played himself out of a job this year over and over. Wish they hadn't been so committed to him all year. Hopefully he can outscore. I want to talk about this really quick because it's not like they committed to him all year as if there were other realistic options. If you want to go all the way back to the offseason and say the Avs didn't go out and get a better starter, I think even then you're stretching a little bit, but okay, sure. You got into this season and the decision was already made. It wasn't like, oh yeah, you could go get Connor Hellebuck mid-season. That's not a realistic thing. That doesn't happen. No. You can't just do that. They were going to be with Georgiev as their starter from November.
Yeah. The best goaltender that got traded this season was Jake Allen?
I think so. How do you feel about Kakkonen? I mean, whatever.
I like him. I don't think he's a starter.
Sure. My point being, it's not like they could have just gone and gotten a better NHL starter.
Yeah. I mean, is Cal Ritchie untouchable or not? Because you're going to need Cal Ritchie. You're going to need a first-round pick. You're going to need something else if you're going to try and go get UC Saros.
Yep.
You know, and then even then, you have him for 1 year, and then you have to pay him double what he's making now.
And lest we forget, 6 games into the season, Georgiev had played amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you can throw out names that you like Charlie Lindgren, but why would the Caps trade their starting goaltender when they think they're going to make the playoffs? Alex Lyon, pass.
You watched him nuclear meltdown in the playoffs last season.
Yeah.
And you want to go get that guy.
Yeah.
Literally lost the starting job because of his playoffs.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway.
It's a hard position to get right.
Yeah.
Which is why they looked like geniuses last year when they paid so little and Georgiev was so good, which feels like it was 10 years ago. Yeah. And then he's just been so frustratingly inconsistent and poor this year that you're like, you can't take this chance next year.
I'm not saying they got Georgiev right. They got it wrong. But I'm also saying it's not like goalies are just growing on trees out here and the Avs could have gone and gotten a starter.
Yeah, you look at what happened. The LA Kings and the New Jersey Devils nuked their own seasons because getting it right at the goaltending position when you have limitations is hard. It's hard. There's not that many of them out there. How many good starting goaltenders exist in the NHL? Would you say
10?
I was going to say 15.
Sure.
And like Charlie Lindgren is like Charlie Lindgren's like Georgiev last year.
Yep.
Where you're looking at him and you're like, wow, everybody else really missed the boat on this guy. Yep. A year from now, is he still going to be good? I don't know.
Yep.
It's being a long-term starter, being a true blue number one starter in the NHL is really, really, really hard. You could be really good for 30 games, but when you get into that seat and it's your job, it strips away all the pretenders.
I don't know.
All of them.
I don't know who it was in the Toyota chat. Syndistic man. I don't know. The guy who said having Fleury as a backup would be nice. Eric, this was your take at the deadline.
I agreed. If Fleury would have wanted.
They tried. He didn't want to move.
Yeah. So, if Fleury would have been about it, I would have been about it.
It would have been perfect to just calm the waters.
Would have checked all the boxes.
He didn't want to come.
Right.
He didn't want to go.
It isn't about, this is the new starter. It was a mental check for Georgiev, right?
He's a mentor. Like, let's go. Help you out a little bit. You know, like, make breathe, you know? Like, it didn't happen.
It did not.
Grubauer, another guy. That guy got here, had a couple of decent years behind some really good teams, and then went to Seattle behind some good defensive teams and melted down. He hadn't been any good either.
Yeah. He's been terrible, to be honest.
It's a hard job. It's a hard job, and it's a hard thing to get right because you don't know from year to year. A skater can have a good year or bad year, and you're like, oh, man, we've got him on a 4-year deal, and we think that he's going to be a lot better next year. And you can work with that. But when a goaltender has a bad year, there's no hiding.
Yep.
There's nothing you can do about it. Where I think the Avs really, truly went wrong this year is that they got to Annan too late.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
The whole Prosvetov.
Now you're going into playoffs where you don't know what he is. Right?
The whole Prosvetov thing was a waste of everyone's time.
Agreed.
In my opinion.
Agreed.
You had a guy that you've been developing for years. If he had had 10 extra starts this year, not that you would feel incredible about playing him
you'd
in the postseason.
You'd have a better feel for what he is.
You would double his body of work.
Yep.
Can I ask real quick?
Yeah, of course.
Who was the backup while Eustace was injured, though? Because he was injured for like a solid little chunk of the season that like he wouldn't
that
have
was
been available
after Prozvatov had already been signed. Though.
Yeah, so okay. that was after the Prozvatov claim.
Okay. Like Eustace was healthy on October 12th or whenever the season
yeah,
started.
Yeah, they had okay. the chance to keep him and they chose not to because somebody in the organization really liked Ivan Prozvatov, and then he got here and then they didn't work. And then they yeah. didn't play him.
Yeah. Couple more super chats to get to that I will get to here in a second. Before I do, we are brought to you by Game Time. Look, if you think the Avs aren't going to be in the playoffs for very long, you might want to get those tickets for the round one games here in Denver. Sign up with Game Time to get your tickets. Use True code that. DNVR to get $20 off your first purchase with them. Of course, if you're not a believer, go get Nuggets playoff tickets again. Then maybe they can go back to back. Who knows? Whatever the sporting event, even beyond sporting events, concerts, theater, things like that, you can get them through Game Time. And they guarantee the lowest prices. If you find tickets cheaper somewhere else, Game Time will reimburse your account 110% of the ticket price. So go get with them. Download the app today. There's a link down in the description to download. Join over 15 million people using Game Time to get their tickets. And make sure you're being responsible with your money. Join Premier Members Credit Union today. When you join them, they'll give you $200 just for opening an account and signing up for e-statements. It's that easy. It'll be the best money move you've made yet. They also have tons of other ways to save you money because they're a credit union, not a bank. Yeah, it's getting warm in here. Go join them. They have a ton of options, like I said, including the new high yield savings account, or you can earn 5% APY on your first $2,000 with their reverse tier money market. Head on over to becomepremier.com today to find out more. Open up that new account and sign up for e-statements to get yourself $200. All righty. I think we had two more super chats, three more super chats, $5 from Jacob, who said, love you guys. Much appreciated, sir. $5 from Kyle, who says Georgiev is done. Hand Anand the keys for development. If it doesn't go well, go get Saros. But Anand needs to start against Edmonton. I don't think they're whatever you feel. I'm pretty sure they're going to go with Georgiev game one. Anything like that, all bets. Anything beyond that, all bets are off. But I'm pretty sure they're going Georgiev game one.
I just can't see them not. Yep. Going with somebody within it in game one. And then after that, all bets are off. Yes, I agree.
I agree.
Throw open the doors because that's winning time. Like that's, you played all year to get to that point.
Yep.
If the guy, after the way that he has finished the season, if he'd had a great stretch in these seven games and he had a bad game one,
then you
wouldn't.
Him.
Yeah, you wouldn't be having the conversation. But because he's already been inconsistent, and because what have you done for me lately has been awful, awful.
Yeah,
you can't. He just can't have a long leash.
Can't.
Nothing else to say on the matter, I suppose.
Can't.
And then $5 from Aaron, who says, I don't want to jump the gun before the playoffs, but what would be your ideal scenario between the pipes if Georgie can't hack it in the coming rounds? I mean, the perfect scenario is Anand is a true starter, right? Because then you have a super cheap goaltender in the starter position for the next 2 years. Is that realistic? Probably not.
Is that really your ideal going into next year?
If I knew 100% that Anand could do that, yeah. But I don't know that, so... I don't know. A guy that can get to a 900 save percentage. How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, see what happens next week.
Yeah, like, ideal. Like, I've always been a big UC Soros guy. I love him. Put him behind this team. I think he could be really good. But the cost would be prohibitive. The contract would be prohibitive. And I doubt after this year that Nashville's super interested in...
giving him away.
Openly taking a step back, you know, when... would you really be like, oh, Anand and Askarov, let's do that next year? Huh? Well, could be fun, but could be a complete train wreck. So I think that it's very, very difficult to try to forecast what they're going to do in the summer without knowing who all might be available. And I'm not sitting here looking at it right now, so I don't know.
Things always change leading up to it, too. Too late super chats, and then we really got to get out of here. Garrison says, do you think Girard not being there to help cover Manson's left him exposed when pinching?
Not really.
On the game tying goal, the pinch isn't bad. He gets the puck deep and he retreats into the neutral zone.
And just sits.
He has help though. He has help. Nathan MacKinnon is primarily responsible for that goal against.
Yep.
Because he looks and he sees that he has, you can see him. He turns his head. He picks MacKinnon up. MacKinnon also turns and sees Carlson and just doesn't do anything until way too late. So Manson doesn't really misplay that. The pinch isn't a bad pinch.
I would say this too, because a lot of people like to single out specific plays. It's the entire body of work for Manson that's the problem. If you make one defensive mistake, shit happens.
If that's the only mistake, you're definitely looking at Nathan MacKinnon. You're like, Josh Manson's in the crosshairs for
this? But he also took two terrible penalties.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the whole thing.
The lazy back check at the end of the second period where Georgiev did bail him out with a great save.
Yep.
That was on Manson.
Yep. And then $20 from Richard, who says, watching the Avs as of late has been frustrating. I appreciate you guys, though.
We appreciate you.
Yeah, we appreciate all y'all in chat, even if y'all do get wild and out and crazy sometimes.
Too true.
We wouldn't have jobs without y'all. So thank you very much for watching. We do have to get out of here or I am going to melt in this room. We appreciate y'all again, and we will be off tomorrow. Tomorrow's our off day. We'll be back Tuesday, and the NHL playoff previews should start hitting Wednesday night. So keep an eye out for those. We'll dive into all the nitty gritty of the Avs Jets series in those. We'll talk to you soon. Y'all silly like the mayor.